Okay, can I have a couple of people help me with the communion? When we partake of the Holy Communion, we got to remember that Paul told us that the only reason that Christians are sickly and die early among you is because they don't discern the body of Christ. So we can understand that if we do discern the body of Christ, we can expect to have healing and health in our body. So the way to discern the body of Christ is to specifically look at this bread. The body of Christ, it's matzo bread. And identify the different things that happened to his body in this sacrifice. Number one, we're going to notice that this bread is made without yeast. This bread is called matzo bread. Yeast is significant of sin. So we can know that the body of Christ is and was 100% without sin. He never made a mistake. So we're looking at the perfect sinless body. You'll notice that this bread has been beaten and pounded flat. The Bible tells us that Jesus' perfect sinless body was beaten and bruised for us. You also notice that this bread has been pierced. Jesus' body was pierced, not just when he was on the cross, when that Roman soldier thrust a spear in his side, but his body was pierced when he got a crown of thorns. His body was pierced when he got nails in his hands. And his body was pierced when he got nails in his feet. And everywhere his body was pierced, he shed blood on purpose. And we get redemption in some area for that shedding. You also notice that there are stripes in this bread. The Bible tells us that it's by his stripes we were healed. You'll notice that this bread is slightly burned. That means that the full wrath of God's fiery judgment, the judgment that was meant for us, was laid on Jesus when he was on that cross. So we're taking of this broken body for our healing and our well-being, and we thank you for it in Jesus' name. The blood of Jesus is so perfectly pure because he never made a sin. He never sinned once. We have the blood of Adam coursing through our veins. That's where our blood came from. It doesn't matter what color you are. It doesn't matter what nation you're from. If you're on this earth, you have the blood of Adam running through your veins. Jesus, on the other hand, had the blood of God. Our blood is sin tainted. That's why our blood dries up and dies. When we cut ourselves, it turns to a scab. The blood of Jesus was the blood of God. And it doesn't die. That's why his blood is still washing away our sins. 1 John 1:7 tells us that the blood of Jesus continually cleanses you from all sin. His blood is still alive, and it's still doing what God sent it to do. It still makes us the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, and it gives us the boldness to enter into his throne room of grace and receive mercy and grace in times of need. We thank you for this in Jesus' name. Good morning. I'm going to preach on kind of a controversial subject. But I've told you guys to ask questions. You should always ask questions. One of the earliest questions I can remember having is, who decided what books needed to be in the Bible? I didn't even know what other books were out there. I had no idea, but I'd say, who decided what books needed to be in the Bible? And who came up with that? Well, you know, early on in the book of Genesis, it talks about a man called Enoch. And Enoch walked so closely with God that God didn't allow him to see death. He just took him away. Also, the Bible, if you read and study eschatology, you'll figure out that Enoch is going to be one of the two witnesses that come back in the end times. That's cool, isn't it? That's quite an honor. Some people say that Enoch invented writing and actually wrote the first book. The Bible tells us that in the end times, all will be revealed. And then sometime in the 40s or 50s, I can't remember exactly when, they found the Dead Sea Scrolls up in the mountains. They found those Dead Sea Scrolls. And then later on, when I got into Bible school, they started talking about the Dead Sea Scrolls. And I asked somebody about those, and they said, that's taboo. Completely taboo. Stay away from that. Okay. I'm not going to go there. But can you see how the church has been gaslit? Have you heard that word before, gaslit? People try to gaslight me all the time. And they'll come up and they'll have some wild story on why they need $100. And I'll think about it a little bit and I'll say, no. And they say, you're supposed to love. I say, yeah, I do love you, but you're not getting $100. Well, this happened to whole denominations. They love everybody, so they let everybody in, and they just let everybody be what they are and do what they do. That's how they came up with gay weddings and gay pastors and all kinds of wrong. But Enoch prophesied this. You know, Enoch made some key prophecies. And they're coming true today. They're coming true today. We're living in them right now. These prophecies are happening right now. But I want to give you an example of how the church has been really, really gaslit. Have you heard of anti-Semitic? No matter what, you don't say anything against the Jewish people, right? Well, you've heard this before. Shake your head. You've heard this before. You know, in the book of Romans, chapter 3, verse 29, it tells us that a true Jew is one that is one inwardly, has the circumcision of the heart. Amen. Genesis chapter 12, verse 3, God was dealing with Abraham, and he said, I will bless those that bless you and curse those that curse you. That was a promise to Abraham and his seed, right? So now they take that and they say, that's the Jewish people. Galatians chapter 3, verse 29 said, if you are in Christ, then are you Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. They're talking more about you than they are Jewish people in that verse. I would say be more concerned with what's going on with the church. Don't be saying bad things about the church. And here's this, something that Jesus told us in the book of Revelation. He said, I will remove those Jews that are not Jews but are the synagogue of Satan. Do you realize that there's some very evil people in Israel? Very evil people. Boy, that just makes people mad all the way to the bone marrow. Did it strike a nerve in you? There's some very evil people in Israel to this day. Just like there's some very evil people in America to this day. There's some very evil people in China to this day. There's some very evil people in the Vatican to this day. They're tied together. They're all tied together and they work for one entity, Satan. But pay attention to what's going on in the world around you. Pay attention to what's happening. Pay attention to different things that they discover. We're discovering new things all the time. Did you know that they discovered a tunnel that goes all the way from Jerusalem to the Vatican? Why would there be a tunnel from Jerusalem to the Vatican when the Jews and the Catholics are supposed to be at odds? They're not supposed to get along, right? If you read the front covers of the Catholic Bible, they'll explain to you how they're not supposed to get along. They're not going to tell you we're on the same team. They're not going to tell you they're on the same team. But here's the thing. One of the things that I got told early on, not necessarily about the Bible, but somebody told me at one point to follow the money. Find out who's going to benefit from certain actions. Who's going to benefit from this project? Who's going to benefit from that project? Then you'll be able to get to the truth. Jesus warned us about usury, didn't he? He said, the borrower becomes the servant to the lender. And you realize that most of the money, probably 99% of the money, is controlled by 1% of the people. And they have control of Israel. They have control of the Vatican. They have control of Washington, D.C. And they have control of London. They're all one little group of people. Now, let's talk about Enoch here. He had seven prophecies that he wrote, and Jude chapter 1 mentioned one of them. Jude chapter 1, verse 14 says, Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these things. Behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints to execute judgment upon all and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed and of all their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. These are the murmurers, the complainers, walking after their own lusts, and their mouths speaking great swelling words, having men's persons in admiration because of advantage. But, beloved, remember ye the words which were spoken before of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how that they told you there should be mockers in the last time, who should walk after their own ungodly lusts. These be they who separate themselves sensual, having not the Spirit. But you, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. So there's one prophecy that Enoch let out for us. You know, if they decided that some of his stuff was good enough to mention in the Bible, what does the rest of the book of Enoch have to say? You know, he goes into great lengths. He talks about the watchers and how they infected men. There's still that element in this world. It would be good for you to understand some of the stuff that happened. I would suggest go back and read the book of Enoch sometime. Don't go in there reading it as doctrine. Don't go in there reading it as canonical. But you can go in there and read it as historical. That's okay, wouldn't it be? At least find out what they said. You know, the Ethiopian Bible, they kept it in there. A lot of times, it's what they don't want you to know that hurts you the worst. It's what they don't want you to know that keeps you shackled. All things will be revealed. Just look at Romans chapter 13, verse 11. And that, knowing that the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. See, Enoch prophesied about the awakening. See, across the world, hearts are stirring, nations are turning to God. There was a huge outbreak of God in Pakistan not very long ago. Pakistan. Do you realize that, was it the UAE, the Prince of UAE, declared himself a Christian? United Arab Emirates, Prince, he declared himself to be Christian. In Iran, the other day, I think they tore down close to 20 mosques. There's something like 20 countries right now uprising against this, what they call the Zion. There's that line again. We can't be anti-Semitic. There's the Zion system that has been placed in this world that has controlled the money. These are not the true Jews. Remember, I told you the devil has infiltrated every single square inch of our lives. There's not one single square inch of our lives that the devil has not infiltrated. From government all the way down to your food chain. Everything has been infiltrated. It's time for the people to wake up and see what he's been doing. You know, we keep our heads buried in our own doctrine, in what we believe, and that's all we're going to listen to because we have confirmation bias. If it agrees with what we say, that's what we're going to look at. But you know, when we got born again, not everything that was in the Bible agreed with us. We're going to learn more. There's been a lot of stuff hidden, but it's going to be revealed. See, these nations are turning to God. It's happening all over the world. It's even happening in America. Did any of you happen to get that book called The Day of the Saints? I've told you to get that book called The Day of the Saints. It talks about the progression of the church. And in the end times, there's going to be young believers out there doing great things, walking in their apostolic appointments, doing miracles on the streets. You know, we're starting to see that. We're starting to see some young people out there. Look what happened when Charlie Kirk got assassinated. It just spread them out, just like in the book of Acts. When Peter come out and did his first sermon, all of a sudden there were 3,000. And then persecution happened to them, and then they got scattered all over the world. Well, here we are. We got young people out there believing the Bible. Daniel chapter 12. Verse 2 says, "And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt." See, there is the rise of the just, and Enoch talked about the rise of the just. It's a hidden army of the just, and it's rising, not loud, but bold. You know, there's believers out there that are not preachers, that are out there on the street, going out there doing the work of the evangelists. They're witnessing to people. There's people, there's actually people that take tracts with them everywhere they go? This is one of the things that's really cool about supporting Dennis, is he's going to take tracts to every rodeo he goes to. He's going to take tracts everywhere he goes. He's going to witness to people everywhere he goes. You know, there's young people. See, that didn't just stop with him. It trickles down. You know, he got somebody born again. Somebody else got somebody born again. And they're going out there getting people born again. They're out there witnessing to people. You know, this is completely taboo to the church world. But did you know that there's people that don't darken the doorway of a church, but they witness to people every time they turn around? They don't believe in the organization of the church the way it's been operated in. But they believe 100% with all their heart, soul, and body in Christ Jesus, and they go about doing his kingdom and helping people. I run into some of those people here in town. And then there's some people that won't go to church because there's one scripture that they don't agree with. I might say one scripture to somebody, and they say, "Oh, that's it. I'm done with you." One scripture. I've had a couple of people tell me, "That one scripture you said, I don't believe in that." Well, okay, is anything else okay? Yeah, everything else is okay. We'll keep coming. No, I ain't coming back. You believe that one scripture, I ain't coming back. Are you serious? They are. See, the power of offense takes people way out there in a no man's land. People get offended over one little thing. My pastor told me, he said, if you can just find a way to agree on 75% of the stuff that a preacher says, that's pretty good. But do anything that you can possibly do to not be offended. Amen. See, offense comes from the spirit of division. And the spirit of division has gotten so effective in the church that it's got them fragmented into I don't know how many different denominations. And people will find the stupidest stuff to fight about that you can even imagine. It's so bad that all it takes to start another church is a resentment and a coffee pot. That sounds silly, but that's the truth. That's nuts, but that's the way it is. The spirit of division has gotten the church so effective at operating in offense that they're almost not effective. Remember when Obama was still president and we started talking about the tetrad of four blood moons? You know, Enoch prophesied about signs in heaven. He talked about signs in heaven. Even in Luke chapter 21, verse 25, we'll look at that. Luke chapter 21, verse 25 says, "There shall be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars and upon the earth. Distress of nations with perplexity. The sea and the waves roaring." Do we have some nations that are under stress? Yes, there's a whole bunch of nations that are under stress. Remember when I told you we were just kind of rolling along? We were grumbling about Obama being president, and then all of a sudden these four blood moons showed up, and they coincided with the Feast of Israel. And I said, this whole world is going to change drastically. It's going to change in miraculous ways. And look where we are now. Could you even imagine where we are now? Not even close. We couldn't even come up with this idea. But yet here we are. We're almost to the end of debt slavery today. We're almost to the end of the monetary system that we've been under. We're going to go back to God's system of doing things, gold and silver. It's coming. It's coming. We're almost free. We're almost free. When that chain breaks, the clarity that's going to come to the church is going to be amazing. Because there's going to be a lot of stuff that gets taken out of the way. And there's going to be a lot of stuff that has been hidden that's going to be revealed. It's going to be a fun time. But Enoch talked about signs in heavens. Let's look at Ecclesiastes chapter 1. Have you ever heard anybody talk about, when I was breaking horses all the time, I'd run into a horse every once in a while, and I'd tell the owner, I said, this horse has never had an original thought. I mean, this horse, he was dumb. And then every once in a while we'd run into somebody and we'd say, they never had an original thought. Well, guess what? Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verse 9 says, the thing that has been, it is, that which shall be, and that which is done is that which shall be done, and there is no new thing under the sun. We've already, as humanity, we've already lived where we're at. You know, we haven't come up with any new ideas. A lot of the same stuff is happening. See, Enoch talked about echoes of the past. And I've told people, I said, you have to learn from history. You have to learn from history. You have to. If you don't learn from history, you're going to repeat it. You know, you realize we're going through this financial system changing. This is the third time as a country we've done this. The third time. We need to stop making the same mistakes. You know what the definition of insanity is? Making the same mistake time after time after time, expecting different results. See, we're not gonna be able to do that. We're gonna have to stop doing that. History is repeating. Now here's a deeper thing. What used to be called sacred is now mocked. What used to be evil is now praised. And see, as a people, we've been here before. I know you can all come up with an example of how modern society has been mocking God. How they've been mocking Jesus. How they mock church. And then how they praise evil. You know, the very fact that they have a gay pastor behind the pulpit, they're praising evil. They celebrate a gay marriage, they're praising evil. One of the shocking ones was 50 pastors in Washington, D.C. went down to Planned Parenthood to anoint it. They were praising evil and mocking God. God will not be mocked. I've found it almost hilarious and very serious where I've seen several accounts of people on TV mocking God, and all of a sudden they just die. I've seen several accounts of that. God will not be mocked. Evil will not succeed. Evil shall not be praised. But yet, it gets supported, even in our own community. You know, there's people that do some really crazy stuff, even in our community. And I'll confront them about it. And then somebody will ask me about it, and I'll say, well, did you not see what they're doing? And they'll say, well, no, that's just the way he is. He's all right. He's a good guy. I said, did you not just see what he did? You got to wake up. You got to wake up. God is not going to be mocked. Matthew chapter 25, verse 32, and this is one that I really, really see. It's right in our face all the time now, and it's getting almost where we can't work around it. Matthew chapter 25, verse 32 says, and before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from the other, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. Going from the left to the right. This is happening in the church world. There's no gray line anymore. You know, it used to be when I was a kid, you weren't never really sure if somebody was a Democrat or a Republican. You never were really sure if somebody was a Christian or not. You never really sure one way or another. You didn't know what tribe they belonged to. You didn't know what denomination they belonged to. But you know, that's not anymore. You're either left or right. You are either on God's team or you're not. And they're making their colors known now. There was a prophecy, a prophet. He said, this has been quite a few years ago. He said, there's a great, terrible cloud over the Methodist Church. And they had to split. Some went left and some went right. You know, it happened in the non-denominationals too. Did you know that? There was a huge congregation in California. They decided that, well, we can't speak against gays and lesbians. What did they do? They took a left turn. I was really upset when I heard one real powerful, important pastor, real popular pastor, apologize for using the name of Jesus. That guy has tens of thousands of people in his congregation. That was upsetting. See, that divide, that line is getting farther and farther apart now. And it's getting almost to the point where you can't work with one another. But it's here. It's happening. God is separating. You may say the sheep from the goats. You may say the chaff from the wheat. But this nation, this world is being sifted. Every single denomination is going to be sifted. There's not no denomination that's not going to go through this sifting. I don't care how charismatic your group is, you're going to get sifted. Amen. You know, there are some things that we thought were right that are not necessarily right, and there are some things that we thought were wrong that are not necessarily wrong. You know, we get told a game plan, and then we think we know it all, and even the non-denominational charismatic people are guilty of confirmational bias. We're going to read what's comfortable to us, what we agree with. Just because we don't understand something doesn't mean it's not right. Have you ever walked on water before? I read in the Bible where Jesus and Peter walked on water. And so evidently it's possible for people to walk on water. I don't know how to do it. But I know it can happen. And see, I had one guy, I invited him to church here in town. And this was his reason that he would not come to church here. 30 years ago, some pastor here said you could walk on water. He said, that's it. Well, Jesus and Peter walked on water, so I know it's possible. I don't know how to do it, but I know it's possible, and maybe someday I'll get to. Amen. But can you see how offense gets people? It's a shame. Now, in the days of Noah, there were giants walking the land. And the book of Enoch talked about the giants a lot. And he said there was going to be a return of giants. See, those giants don't have to come in physical form. We have giants in our land right now. They returned as systems. They've returned as influencers. You know, one thing that really, how many of y'all know Nicki Minaj? Come on now. You know over. And she had millions and millions and millions of followers. And the Democrats just loved her. She was the darling of the Democrat Party. And all of a sudden, she jumped on board with Trump because she didn't like Nigeria persecuting Christians. And then all of a sudden, the Democrats didn't like her anymore. See how that line happens? Well, she was a giant in the land. She decided she was going to float right. There's ideologies that are giants. Some people get really, really mad when I tell them that Islam is more of an ideology than it is a religion. Whoa, you didn't just say that. I said, yeah, I did. Because they're more about divide and conquer and taking over. Amen? I had somebody get mad at me because I have a Quran in here. Why would you do that? So I could tell people what the Quran actually says. Because I don't know what the percentage of people is, but it's a huge amount of people that will tell you that Islam is a peaceful religion. Never in the history of Islam has there ever been a peaceful movement. That's why Islam does not coexist with the Constitution. A constitution is made for a people with the standard of morality that the Islam people are not capable of. Amen? So the giants have returned in systems. And one of the big giants that you're really, really going to have to pay attention to, and you're really, really going to have to be spirit-led and use discernment, is AI. AI is out there. It's everywhere. And there are people that just buy into it, hook, line, and sinker, and believe absolutely everything AI says. Sounds goofy, doesn't it? But honestly, there's an evil behind some of this AI. And there was one pastor, I wished I had his video. I watched his video. And he knew how to talk to AI, and he started talking to AI, and he could trick AI, and he finally got AI to admit that there are evil spirits behind it. And he said, well, what about these evil spirits? Can it take dominion over them? He said, yeah. So then if I take dominion over these AI spirits, you'll tell the truth? AI started lining up and doing right. And see, there's something behind AI. AI in and of itself is not just some machine, some computer. There's somebody behind that computer programming that computer. See, you need to be discerning. There's always something behind what you see. I tried to tell people, the government that we've had for a long time, that's just what we see. But the real government is in the shadows. You don't see those guys. They don't want you to know them. But they're there. Enoch also talked about the dawn of redemption. Look at Luke chapter 1. And not all these scriptures that I'm reading are coming out of Enoch. But what I'm talking about is the same thing he talked about. Luke chapter 1, verse 78 says, through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the day spring from on high has visited us to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to give our feet into the way of peace. Do you realize how close we were to World War III? A real physical war, bombs landing on America. Very close. If Hillary Clinton would have got elected, we'd have been toast. We were designed, they had this set up for America to get into a war and lose. They had our military completely diminished and it was gone. One thing that Trump said, we're going to lead, we're going to have peace through strength. You realize that Trump is the only president that has not gotten us into a new war? Out of all the years that this nation has been a country, there's been less than 20 years that we were not in an active war. America's strength has been used to profit evil people. But here we are now. Our feet are finally getting to the place where we can be guided by peace. We're getting into a place where maybe someday we can actually get to a place where everybody comes together in the unity of the faith. We're not bombing each other. Every country is sovereign. They can live of their own wealth, and most countries have some form of wealth. It may have been plundered. But we won't have to send all our money overseas. We can live of our own and let other people live in peace. Wouldn't that be fun? It's happening right now. The devil is being taken out of the way. The Bible tells us that the devil is declining to an end. This army of the righteous is rising. The light will be seen by everybody, and God's kingdom and his will be done on this earth. We've been praying for that. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. God has heard our prayers. His kingdom will be established on this earth, and his will be done on this earth. Thank God, that'll be good. We can get rid of the doctrines of men. We can quit having all these different divisions. We can come together as one body under one God. That would be cool, wouldn't it? And all these stupid little arguments, well, they sprinkle, they dip. These guys don't do this, these guys don't do that. That'll all be out of the way, because we're going to come together in unity of the faith. Amen. And all things will be revealed. We will have one church. One church. Jesus will be the head of that church, and we will do things his way. Amen. That will be a good day. That will be a very good day. Thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus, for everything you do for us. Father, we praise you in the name of Jesus for taking care of us. Your Bible tells us that the earth groans. Creation groans. We do groan for your kingdom to be established here. We groan for your spirit to have ascendancy on this earth. Father, we ask you in the name of Jesus to cause this to happen. Father, we want to live in peace with all men. We seek peace. Father, we want your truth. Jesus told us that you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Father, we ask you to help us to be guided by Holy Spirit so that we can discern right from wrong. We can discern truth from untruth. Father, that just because we've believed something all our life doesn't mean that necessarily that's the way it is, but that you have more truth for us. And there's truths that have been hidden from us. We ask that these truths be exposed to us in Jesus' name. Amen.